Good evening. It's good to be here with you all again tonight, and I hope that something I have prepared will be a benefit to you. It's always beneficial for me to study these things, and I hope it's equally so for you. The subject that I wanted to speak a little bit about tonight is pride. It's not an exhaustive study. I don't think I could fit everything there is to say in 10 lessons, much less one. But if you want to grab your Bible and follow along, we'll begin in 1 John chapter 2 and 16. As you turn there, I want to say that pride is something that the world and Christians do or should have a completely different opinion of. You know, the world will tell you that that you should have pride in your life, that you should take pride in your school, in your appearance, in reaching your goals and achievements, and whatever it may be. And I think oftentimes, you know, that word pride is used for, you know, having a good attitude about things in life, a good work ethic, you know, striving to do better. And I don't think that is bad. But also we see the manifestation of pride in the world, and that kind of pride is bad. And if you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." You want to read this? It's pretty easy to, you know, identify lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Those are, you know, worldly sins that we can often see manifested. You know, and pride is a little bit more subtle, a little bit sneaky. You know, we think, well, we're not out bragging about everything we do, so I'm pretty humble. I'm not proud. But, you know, pride is just a sickness. You know, oftentimes we see the side effects and the you know, the ill things that come with being sick, but you don't often know what the cause is. You know, there's times that you don't see what is causing the symptoms. And pride is often that way. Just about any sin that you can think of, you can almost trace back to pride in some way or another. It's one of those things that, you know, you may not struggle with, but I think a lot of people do. I think it's often rooted under the surface. And if you find yourself struggling with a sin problem, I think pride is a good place to look. You know, the majority of sins I said that we can commit come back to pride. And I think it's something good for us to study. So if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 says, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You know, we read that pride is of the world, and to be more specific, it starts in our hearts. It comes from within, and that is what can defile us. You know, it lists a lot of bad things here, and I think that we often think to ourselves or try to categorize sin that, you know, if I'm not out murdering someone daily or cheating on my spouse or stealing, that, you know, I'm being a good person. But, you know, pride is listed right along with those things. And those things often are born of pride. You know, it's pride that starts in our hearts and can cause us to sin. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5, Proverbs 16 and 5 says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." You know, that's a lot different than what the world teaches us today. You know, the world says we need to have pride, but this says that's an abomination to God if we have that in our hearts. You know, we need to realize that we have to work on this to overcome the sin problems in our life. You know, this goes to show how God's view of pride is, contrary to the world's. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 4, Proverbs 21 and 4 says, "An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." So we don't have to look very far to see God is not going to tolerate pride in our lives. You know, even a little bit to make us do a good job on something or, you know, being proud of things and accomplishments that we do. You know, I think we need to have a satisfaction in a job well done. I think God wants us to strive to do better and to constantly do the best that we can in whatever it is that we do. And we have verses that tell us that. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." So we're supposed to do our best, but yet we're not supposed to have pride in our lives. I think the difference is when we submit to God's will and we give Him our best, when we do everything to the best of our abilities for His glory, that is when we're truly humble. When we can set our will and our wants aside and work for God and be a servant of His is the difference. You know, but on the other hand, if we do our best because we want the glory, if we want a pat on the back, or if we want to impress people or things of that nature, that is pride. You know, that's pride taking root in our hearts. You know, if you think pride isn't powerful, just take a look around us in the world today. You know, our country is in so much debt that it's not even funny. People spending money to impress people with things that they don't want or people they don't like. And, you know, the world is full of inaccountability. You know, how often do people do something just vile, but they won't take accountability for it? You know, we constantly see people blaming their circumstances, their situations, the things around them. It couldn't possibly be anybody's fault. You know, of course it couldn't be my fault that I did something wrong. And that's rooted in pride. And if we're ever going to have a relationship with God that flourishes, if we're ever going to overcome our sin and our faults in life, we have to take accountability. We have to humble ourselves and put pride aside and realize that we may be the problem. In Colossians chapter 3 and 17, Colossians 3 and 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." You know, so we certainly need to do our best. We certainly need to improve in everything that we do. We don't ever need to be satisfied with mediocrity in our lives. But we need to remember who's given us our abilities, who's given us the opportunities that we have in life. You know, all those things come from God. If we have a talent, that's from God. That isn't anything of our own doing. You know, we may work hard and do things, but it's God giving us those opportunities that we have. And something I think pride can cause us to do, whether we realize it or whether we don't, it can cause us to look down on others. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 6, we'll read verses 41 and 42. Luke chapter 6, starting verse 41 says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." You know, we need to help each other every chance that we get, but oftentimes pride can stand in the way of that. If we're blinded by our own sin, or if we're blinded because we're focusing so much on other people's sin that we don't even recognize our own, you know, we need to watch for that. Pride is taking root in our hearts. You know, always heard the difference in major surgery and minor surgery. You know, major surgery was when I was having an operation, I was having something done. But minor surgery was when somebody else was having something done. And I think we often categorize sin that way. We say, well, you know, so-and-so, they did this. I don't see how they could just go on living with that problem in their life when we have problems of our own in life. You know, you may not struggle with anything that I come close to struggling with, and I may not struggle with anything that you struggle with, but we all have sin in our lives, and we're all going to have to fight those battles, whatever it is. Oftentimes, I think we judge people for their actions, but we want to be judged for our intentions. You know, we mess up and do something, and well, you know, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't know what would happen or didn't realize. And other times when people do something, we're quick to jump all over them or just assume that they meant really bad. Well, I can't believe they would do that to me. How dare they, you know? And that's pride. That's pride in our lives. And I think if we hold ourselves to the same standard that we hold others, it'll make us all a lot better Christians, a lot better people. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14 says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." You know, in this parable, isn't hard to see pride come out in that Pharisee. You know, his prayer wasn't pleasing to God. He wasn't even praying to anyone but himself. You know, he was doing that to lift himself up. He was using someone else. He was putting someone else down to make himself feel better, to make himself feel like he'd done a good job. You know, and that's something I think that we even have to watch for. You know, if you don't struggle with a sin in your life, you know, if you see something that's not a problem, it's not a problem to you, you don't struggle with it. We can go proud, we can become proud in that. And that's something that we definitely need to watch for. We can become puffed up in our righteousness, you know, when we don't struggle with something, when we do something right. And we need to guard for that. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 1, says, "Take heed that you do not do your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." You know, this is all around us today, and it's an easy trap to fall into. You know, it feels good to get a, hey, good job, or a pat on the back, but that doesn't need to be the driving force in everything that we do. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing something good for somebody, for serving one another, and nobody ever knowing, because God knows, and he's the one who gives our reward. And that should be enough for us. If you drop down to verse 5 in Matthew chapter 6, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them." You know, a worldly approach to prayer is to, or, you know, doing service to one another, is to make a big scene, you know, to fall down on your knees, to attract a big crowd, to announce it to the whole world that you're doing these things. And God tells us not to conduct ourselves that way. You know, God knows what we need before we even ask it of him. God knows what we're doing, how our service is going with one another, without us ever mentioning a word of it to anyone. And that's how it should be. We should be able to serve one another and do it humbly, do it without looking to get a pat on the back. You know, pride can cause a lot of damage, as we've clearly talked about, but like I said in the beginning of this lesson, it can be very sneaky. You know, pride can make us think that we know everything and cause us to take God's word for granted, to think that we know better than God. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 16. Isaiah 29 and 16 says, "Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, 'He made me not'? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, 'He had no understanding'?" You know, it's pretty foolish when you look at it in this simplicity. You know, a pot or something that was made out of clay, saying the person who made it has no understanding. You know, when we think we have a better way, when we want to go on our own way and ignore God's word, that's exactly what we're doing. We're the clay talking back to the potter. And that's pride. That's pride driven. You know, when we disobey God, when we think that we have a better way than following what he's simply laid out for us, that's us being prideful. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, obviously God's ways are higher than ours. God knows better. You know, it makes sense that the one who created us and the whole world that we interact and live in probably knows better than we do. But oftentimes, pride tells us that that doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm not going to do that. I have a better way. And what that really means, though, is we aren't smart enough to understand it yet. You know, we need to follow God with humility rather than letting pride take root in our heart and going a different way. Something that pride, I think, can often do without us realizing it is it can keep us from being thankful. It can keep us from remembering where our life and everything comes from. In Job chapter 21, verses 7 through 15. Job 21, starting in verse 7, says, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old? They are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. You know, their bull gendereth and faileth not, and their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in the moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" You know, these people were so blessed by God. They were having such an easy life that they completely took God for granted. And they said, "Who is the Almighty that we should serve him?" You know, that's what pride does. It blinds us from the true power of God. And if we're not careful, we can let the luxuries and the blessings that we share in this life and get to enjoy overtake our minds and have us become ungrateful and forget where these things come from. You know, we make our living in agriculture, we farm and we ranch, and there's times that you think that you're doing everything right, that you couldn't be doing anything wrong, it's all going pretty well, and in the blink of an eye, with one cloud that comes across, it can all just be a waste. You know, and that's pretty humbling. God has all the power in his hand. You know, there's times you can do everything wrong, and if God has the weather right or whatever it is, you know, you can still do it just to spite yourself. And it makes us realize that we have no control over the things in our lives other than ourselves. And so we need to remember who is in control. We need to remember who gives us our blessings. You know, I think about when somebody's in the hospital, when someone's sick or you lose a loved one, you know, it's real easy to set pride aside and humble yourself and pray and remember who's in control. But when things are going good, it's really easy to kind of forget that for a minute, to put God on the back burner, so to speak. And we need to guard against that. We don't need to let pride take root in that way. If you'll turn with me to Psalms chapter 10 and verse 4. Psalms 10 and 4 says, "The wicked through his pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." As I said, it's really easy to be humble when we need God, when we asking God for something. But it's really easy to put pride in our lives when things are going good. And God needs to be on the forefront of our minds. He needs to be in all of our thoughts. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Proverbs 27 and 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, controlling time, that's the true meaning of power. You know, we think that we have all the time in the world. We think that, you know, we have time to work on this or that later. You know, we all make plans. We have to. You know, if you don't plan for retirement, that's going to make for a bumpy future. You know, if you don't plan your week out and just fly by the seat of your pants, it's probably going to be pretty chaotic. We often take for granted that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised another breath. And God controls all of that. God is truly in control. He has all the power, and we need to remember that. And you know, when we're struggling with sin, when we're struggling with things in our lives, we don't need to put those off. You know, pride tells us that we've got plenty of time. We can work on that later and just kind of sweep it under the rug. But you know, if we're struggling with something, there's no better chance or time to take advantage of that and to fix it than right now, because we're not promised tomorrow. I think the ultimate example of humility is obviously Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, starting verse 4, says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know, if there was ever somebody who had the right to be proud of what they had done or what they had accomplished, it was Christ. You know, he lived the only perfect life that was ever lived. But he wasn't proud. You know, he humbled himself even to a death on the cross. And if we're going to put pride aside, if we're going to adopt humility to fight against that, we're going to have to do what Christ did, and that's to put others first, to become a servant. You know, it's really hard to put me first and look out for number one if we're looking out for someone else, if we put ourselves on the back burner. And I think ultimately, you know, it's kind of obvious, but it goes without saying that humility is the antidote to pride. And if we're going to fight against that and not have that in our lives, we're going to have to humble ourselves and use the mindset of Christ. You know, as I've said, that pride is very deceitful. I think it's probably the biggest liar that we're ever going to encounter in our lives. You know, we think that we don't have it. And, you know, you can take pride in the fact that you don't have pride. And that's something that is kind of ironic, but that's a sin in itself. You know, if you think that, I don't struggle with that, and doing pretty good, I don't struggle with all these other sins, well, that's pride in itself. And we need to guard against that. We need to try to have the humility that Christ had. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." You know, we're not going to be able to have forgiveness or accept the grace of God if we have pride in our hearts, because we're not going to see our flaws. When that grace is extended to us, we're not going to see it. We have to humble ourselves to take advantage of that grace. You know, to be forgiven, we're going to have to humble ourselves. So tonight, as we offer an invitation, invitation for the prayers of the church, whether you've been struggling with something, whether you've struggled with pride or some kind of sin in your life, you know, that whatever it is, we would like to help you with that. You know, don't just let pride take root in your heart and not fix anything. Or if you haven't become a Christian, you know, tonight God offers an invitation to fix that, to be baptized and have your sins washed away. But you know, in either case, Satan offers an invitation too. And to accept his, you just have to do nothing. You have to never make a change. You never have to do anything else but what you want to do. You can just let pride rule in your life. But I don't think any of us want that for one another. You know, if you have a need of the church tonight, we ask that you have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing.